An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Read by the author. Chapter 20. Reunions and Complications. The lump in Piper's throat was so big she could scarcely speak as she joined the girls, crouched over Thumb. Midge was there, along with Flim and Flam. Cradling Thumb's head in her lap, Midge looked up. Worry creased her brow, though she gave Piper a weak smile. "Welcome back," she said. The twins approached, flanking Piper. Each tucked a hand in her elbow and leaned against her. They emanated warmth and something else. Relief? Piper wasn't sure. She just soaked it in like a sponge. She would take any kindness at all right now. Her body felt bruised. Her back was bleeding from barnacle cuts, and she had burn blisters on her belly, her lower back, and her feet. But the absolute worst was her heart. It felt like it was on the verge of breaking. Thumb might die, and it was all her fault. "Thumb?" she asked again. Her eyes were used to the dark. She could see Thumb's chest and tummy had been wrapped in... what was that? It must be Pudge's flannel shirt. "Is she shot?" Piper managed to croak. "Let me see." Belle's take-charge tone surprised Piper. She'd forgotten the fairy, for a moment, on top of her head for safekeeping. Now Belle dropped to Piper's shoulder and walked down Piper's right arm. She seemed unable to fly at this point. Piper knelt, holding her hand directly over Thumb's bandage to make getting there as easy as possible. Belle nodded to Midge. "Go ahead. Unwrap the bandage." "But it's bleeding so much." Midge sounded terrified. That didn't bode well. "Bullet?" Belle asked, her voice brisk. "No, stabbed by a sharp chunk of wood." "It'll be all right." Belle stood at Thumb's shoulder, stroking the little girl's hair as she commanded Midge and the twins into action. They loosened the blood-stained bandage. The dark stain of Thumb's blood on the shirt over her skin made Piper gasp. There was so much blood. It centered on her right side, below the shoulder. Piper became aware that Belle was staring at her. Tears welled in Belle's eyes. The fairy said not a word, but Piper could see the fairy's sorrow and knew it was the closest she would get to an apology. Just when the first tear overflowed, Belle turned back to Thumb. The fairy's tears dropped onto the little girl's wound, and it began to close, like a daylily, at night. Sounds of amazement came from Midge and the twins.
"Oh, carambas! Increíble!"
"Is there anywhere else?" Belle asked. Thumb opened her eyes and pointed to her head. Belle's tears healed the scrape on Thumb's head as well. "All you have to do is clean up the stained clothes," Belle told the watching girls. "She's all right now." Piper felt relief pour through her limbs. She hadn't realized how tense she'd been until this moment. "Now let me tend your wounds," Belle spoke in Piper's ear. Piper shook her head hard, then slowed, not wanting to knock Belle from her shoulder. "No, I'm fine. It's not important." She didn't know why she said that, when she hurt in so many places from this awful day. It seemed right that she should feel the pain when it was she who had led these girls into this mess. "Nonsense! You'll need your strength yet tonight." Belle set about shedding tears on Piper's rope burns and bruises. She went from Piper's hands to her feet and ankles, walking rather than flying between them. "Now let me under your shirt." Piper nodded, unable to take in more than the sight of Thumb's face gaining in alertness and health. She was vaguely aware of the tickle of Belle's wings on her belly, then her back, and the stinging, burning, aching feelings eased. She watched Flim and Flam undress Thumb. They washed off the blood and dirt with creek water. When she'd been dried, Piper took the little girl and held her tight. She whispered soft things, gratitude slowly unwinding the knots in her heart. Thumb was all right. Perhaps there was still hope. Perhaps they might find a way out of this mess and back to safety. Midge pulled dry clothes for Thumb from a bag and handed them to Piper, wordless. Piper dressed Thumb as gently as she would stroke a butterfly. She didn't want to set her down, this miracle, this one good thing at the end of a horrifying day. Only when Midge had changed did Piper agree to hand Thumb over and change her own sodden clothes. Only then did she notice the tears pouring down her own cheeks. Having been convinced to stay put rather than trying to join the others at the rendezvous point, Zonk and Pudge were arguing about what to do with the prisoners. "Taking them captain was one thing, but I won't be responsible for their deaths," Pudge said. "What do you care?" Zonk protested. "They'd slit your throat without a second thought."
"Please, Zonk," Stinky chimed in. "We have to take them somewhere else. The captain and his crew won't come near here for a long time. They'll think it's cursed."
All three turned at the sound of approaching footsteps. Each step she took toward joining Pudge, Zonk, and Stinky increased Piper's fear. What if they told her to get lost? She'd put them through the ringer. She'd thought of herself as a leader, but what kind of leader got caught before the battle had even begun, not to mention putting the rest of them in mortal danger? She'd hoped the lifers would be her merry band, but now there'd be no way they'd want that. Sure, Zonk had said they were having their own adventure here in the Neverland, but what if that was just to make her feel better?
"Ya llegamos," said Flim. "They're just up ahead,"
Flam announced in a whisper pitched for all to hear. Sure enough, Piper saw the clearing. Pudge, Stinky, and Zonk broke from what looked like an argument and came toward them. Zonk turned to see the twins at the edge of the clearing holding hands. Behind them came Midge, her hands cupped around a tiny glow. Pan brought up the rear, carrying Thumb. Zonk's heart leapt into her throat at the sight. "Thumb, is she..." She couldn't finish the question. As Pan handed Thumb to her, Zonk's heart thudded with relief. Thumb's arms encircled Zonk's neck, her legs squeezing her waist.
"I'm all white," Thumb spoke in Zonk's ear.
The look of sheer terror on Zonk's face solidified Piper's misgivings. She'd best find a way to slip off and leave the lifers to themselves. She had no sooner released Thumb to Zonk's arms when she was nearly knocked over by Stinky's running hug. "Oof," she grunted. Tentative, she returned the hug. "What's this for?"
"I'm just so glad to see you," Stinky exclaimed.
"You are?" Piper couldn't help asking. She was honestly floored.
"Of course."
Everyone clustered around, all talking at once.
"Look who got saved from the ship,"
Midge said, opening her cupped hands to reveal Belle. The aging fairy sat in her cave, looking somewhat the worse for wear. Piper couldn't help but notice Zonk's expression, eyes narrowed as she took in Belle's condition. Well, that was one thing they couldn't blame her for, Piper thought. She hadn't been party to Belle's drinking. Stinky cooed so much over Belle that Midge finally handed her over. "She'll be fine," Zonk said, her voice sharp. "She'll have a bad hangover tomorrow." All of a sudden, Piper remembered what Pudge had said about Zonk's mother, that she'd drunk herself to death, wasn't it? Zonk must know what drunk looked like. Piper still wasn't sure she was welcome here. She shifted, uncomfortable. The other girls continued their chatter.
"It was very fun attacking them," Flim said, elbowing her twin. "Right?"
"Claro que sí," her twin agreed. "We pinched, scratched, kicked, pulled hair. We even kneed them in the groin."
"We were awesome," Pudge said, giving the twins high fives.
"Did you see those pirates run?"
Flim squeaked. She was so excited.
They ran, huh? Midge prompted. More like fell, Flam said.
On top of each other, Flim added, giggling.
We were willy scowy, Thumb said. Zonk's smile nearly cracked her face. It was clear how happy she was to see and hear Thumb full of life. You were, she said, really scary. She looked at Piper. Here it comes, Piper thought. She's going to lay into me for the danger I put them all in. She hunched her shoulders and shoved her hands into her pockets. Weren't they, Pan? Zonk pressed.
Huh?
Why was Zonk calling her Pan?
Oh, yeah, Piper said. Super scary.
Fabulous job, all of you, she said, looking around at the group. I don't know where to start to thank you, that is, for saving me.
You saved Thumb, Zonk pointed out.
No, Piper said. She couldn't keep the bitter edge out of her voice. I saved Belle. She saved Thumb.
Same thing, right? Zonk asked.
Piper shrugged. The fairy stayed quiet. Everyone looked from Piper to Belle and back.
Shoot, Piper thought, what am I going to tell them? They're grateful to Belle, and Stinky adores her. Now's not the time to tell them all about the fairy and Captain Little Jack. But the girls just looked back and forth between them. Clearly they had better sense than to ask what had happened.
Piper shifted from one foot to the other. Her hands fiddled, restless.
You saved my life, all of you. Thank you.
Her voice sounded as awkward as she felt.
Sure thing, Pudge said. So, it'll be okay if we save the pirates too, right?
Everyone laughed. The request took Piper off guard. She managed a weak smile.
It's just that we don't want them to starve, Pudge confessed. The other pirates will never come looking for them in this part of the woods. They think it's haunted.
She's right, Midge said. She tilted her head the way she did when she was cooking up something clever.
Zonk, where's the longboat? Midge asked.
Zonk pointed ahead and to the left. That way, just at the top of the beach.
Good, Midge said. I've got an idea.
They'd taken only a few steps toward the beach when something changed. The moon disappeared, and the air beat aloud like a giant heart. Piper's heart dropped into her stomach. She knew what it was immediately. This was an enemy she was powerless to fight off. The other girls ducked instinctively, and no wonder. It seemed like the sky was about to crush them. Zonk turned her head and stared.
What is it?
Sinkaraz. Piper barely breathed the name, but it brought whimpers from Stinky and the twins. She heard teeth chattering from the direction of the pirate captives. They were literally quaking in their boots. One of them was muttering something that sounded like a prayer. Another started to cry. Piper had seen the dragon before, but still she struggled to comprehend the giant airborne beast. Those were its wings blocking the moon and slicing the air. It was too enormous, too terrible to be real. But the hairs standing erect on the back of her neck and the shudder rippling down her spine told her otherwise.
It's headed to the ship, Piper said. Everyone, we've got to get out of here now.
No way am I moving until I'm sure I'm safe from that thing.
Pudge's whisper was as loud as a whisper could be and still qualify.
She's right, Zonk said. We should stay hidden. Come on, we'll crawl to the beach. We can watch from there.
I'm not sure I want to, Midge said.
Piper didn't say it aloud, but she agreed with Midge.
Captain?
Flea's voice squeaked above the hammering and thumping of the crew. Captain Littlejack ignored him, instead delivering threats to the men unlucky enough to be nearby. They worked haphazardly, their movements frenzied, following his orders to repair the ship. It was dark. He knew it was the wrong time, but he'd rather walk the plank than let that Pan girl defeat him. She wouldn't get far, not in the state she'd been in. As long as the ship could sail,
he could find her tomorrow in the daylight hours.
"Captain!"
Flea's voice came again without the stutter, but even higher.
"Pardon me, Captain, sir, but did you set the red lanterns aloft?"
"What do you mean, Flea?"
the captain bellowed, glancing toward the crow's nest.
"Of course I didn't!"
The sight that met his eyes took the life from his words like a desert sun bleaching bones. Two red orbs shone above the ship, but not two red lanterns. Those were far too large to be lanterns. Those spinning red orbs were hungry dragon eyes, Sinkaraz's eyes. A voice came to him like wind, thunder, and rain combined.
"It is time."
"Time for what?"
Captain Little Jack asked, hoping to buy a few moments to compose himself.
"Time to feast."
Sinkaraz hung in the air, wings beating a rhythm of doom. Pirates panicked. Some ran below deck. A few jumped overboard. Surely an avenging sea spirit would be gentler than the monster drooling above them. Little Jack fought his own instinct to flee. He had no cause to be afraid, he told himself. He was the Dragon Keeper. The beast could only feast when he gave it food. It was up to him to lay down the rules.
"Not tonight, dear dragon."
The power and authority in his voice surprised him. He was amazed he could summon such cool command under the circumstances. Well, and why should he be amazed? He was the scourge of the seven seas.
"Tonight we repair our ship."
He tried for a tone of conciliation.
"Tomorrow we shall hunt."
"Hungry now,"
the beast insisted, its voice slicing the air. The captain had a brilliant idea.
"Well, then, I have the perfect morsel for you. There is a succulent yet satisfying mouthful not far from here, Peter Pan's air."
The thought of the dragon inhaling that child made his blood run hot and his voice quicken.
"It's a girl. I presume she will taste exceptionally sweet."
"Not ripe,"
the dragon griped.
"If you must stand on principle, then you'll have to wait for tomorrow's foray. But if you're that hungry, find the girl. Now go, back to your lair."
Sinkaraz's wing beats sent vibration through the sails, the masts, and the ship's deck. There wasn't a soul on board who wasn't quaking too, including the captain.
"Go, I say!"
Fear made his voice sharp.
"And don't return until I summon you properly."
The fell beast hissed, and the water around the Jolly Roger steamed. Then its wings flexed, drawing the dragon backwards. It circled the cove once, twice, a third time, and seemed to hover over the beach. Then it screamed, a sound like fingernails on a chalkboard. Wings beating, it rose higher and flew inland, back toward the den of its own making, the crater in the mountains. The pirates cheered. The captain let out the breath he'd been holding, for now they were safe. And he would have time, tomorrow, to find and finish off the girl, assuming the dragon didn't do it for him first. After that, he'd gladly go hunting. He only required two more forays, after all, to have enough elixir collected, enough life elixir to make his dream come true. Real hands! The thrill of excitement drove his attention back to the present.
"Back to work, you bleeding blighters! I want this craft ship-shape before dawn."
Piper watched Sinkaraz make its third pass over the cove and prayed that it would just go away. But then it seemed to see them, huddled at the edge of the beach, and it paused, its wings making a whomp, whomp sound. She wanted to cover her head and her ears with her arms. She would have given anything to just disappear. but the others were here. If it was here to snack, as the captain had suggested, it was looking for her. Trembling, she rose to her feet and walked a few paces away from the others. It was foolish to think she could lead it away, but that was exactly what she wanted to do. A memory flew into her head of a mother bird hopping along with an apparently broken wing, making noise to beat the band just to keep her away from its nest of babies. Noise wasn't an option. It would draw the pirates, but movement was. Backing into the trees, she waved her arms over her head. She had its attention, no doubt about that. Its whirling red eyes made her so afraid she thought she might pee her pants then and there. She waited, expecting its mouth to open, the inhalation that would consume her to begin. But it just hovered there. Whump, whump, whump.
"Go ahead, Sincaraz!"
Piper sent her thoughts with a force equal to yelling.
"Eat me now and get it over with! Just leave the others alone!"
A noise split the air, sending actual shooting pain down her spine, and she fell to her knees. The dragon screamed. Still, she met its gaze, defiant.
Whump, whump, whump.
The wings beat harder, and the dragon pulled back and up. Its enormous body moved through the air with the ease of a fish in water. Higher and higher it rose, then it flew inland. Piper threw up before wobbling back to the others.
"Come on, guys," she said. "Midge, lead the way."